Living Hope Assembly of God.
Man, if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Thank you, sir. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read again verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11. And the title of the message you told you guys last week, it was The Purpose of a Fisherman. The Purpose of a Fisherman. So I'm going to bring you back up to speed, bring you up to speed from where we left off the last time that we were together. And we're just going to start preaching and go from there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this morning I pray, God, that you would be glorified and that, Lord God, your name will be lifted high. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we preach this word, Lord God, I pray that lives will be changed. Lord God, that we would see your plan for our lives and that we would line up with what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're there, say amen. 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 I got a lot of stuff scattered out this morning, but before we go there, I want to share something that's going to lead into the text this morning. Getting ready to get our vehicle serviced for something that's going wrong with it, and just took an opportunity to share with a gentleman that's going to work on the vehicle, and we begin to share stories. And before long, you know, he sometimes people, we're born again, and when you're talking to the world, sometimes one of the first things we want to do as believers is shove the word of God down their throat and try to get them to be like us, look like us, and talk like us instead of relating with people. Most people want to know that you're just a person. They want to get to know you, and through a little time spent with an individual, they felt comfortable to share some deeper things that's going on in their life with me. And I had an opportunity, a God moment, to share with this individual the other day. And the moment that I started sharing with them the goodness of God and showing them in scripture, because they were asking various questions about why men are so evil, why humanity is so evil. And I shared with them from the book of Romans why we are so evil, and throughout Corinthians about what Paul talks about the flesh and the spirit, and they are at war with each other. And after I shared that and I shared the goodness of God and all of those things with that individual, they had an aha moment. And they stopped and told me, this individual did, said, "Wow, I've never heard it like that before. I want to share something with you." The reason why I was able to get inroads into that individual's life and I was able to speak to them in that way was because I'm a fisherman. I know what it takes at this point to catch fish. If you're going to win men to Christ, you got to know what it takes to win them. You have to be able to relate with your surroundings. You have to make people feel like they want what you have. Can I tell you this morning that people don't want religion? They want relationship. They want something that's real. And I know that there's a side of us that is totally depraved and we don't want anything to do with God. But there, I believe there's something inside of us that is longing to be with God. And if we're not able to connect the two and help an individual to see that need, working with the Holy Spirit as he The Bible says it's the Spirit of fathers who draws the individual. The Spirit of God is what draws a person. But the Spirit of God, oftentimes, more times than not, is going to use you and I to do that. And how we get that accomplished means the world. If the enemy could use traps and bait to trick us and to allure us and to cause us to stumble, can't we do the opposite? Can we not be fishermen for God? Can we not be the person that God uses to cast our spiritual rods as far as we can into the waters of this world and win somebody to Jesus? Isn't that what we were born again for? Isn't that the reason Christ saved us and delivered us and set us free so that somebody else can come to know him? Listen, I woke up this morning and I felt good about who I am in Christ. I woke up this morning and realized that my family and my life was spared this morning. I came to realize that I didn't do that on my own. I came to realize that God did that. I came to realize that it was God 16 years ago that snatched me out of the enemy's clutches and set me free from sin. But he used an individual to do that. When you're born again, every one of us, we're called to be fishermen. Every one of us, when we're born again, we're called to be fishermen. Can I get some amen? Amen. We're acting kind of sleepy this morning. I need you to be alive. I know that a lot's going on, man. I want you to be alive so I can preach the gospel with a big old smile on my face. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, as the people pressed up on him to hear the word of God. Why did they press up on him? To hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats beside the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. I want you to remember that. They were washing their nets. That's going to be significant, dealing with nets. He entered one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to thrust it out a little from the land. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered him, Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the net. See, we have to understand that it was at Christ's word that he let down the net. Amen. Somebody say that with me. At Christ's word, he let down the net. Amen. I'm going to go to the end of my sermon and we're going to end with this. But Christ has already told the 21st century church, it's time to let down your net in Matthew chapter 28. Amen. Christ is asking us to let down our net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was tearing, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not fear, for now on you will catch men. Simon, do not fear. He tells, this is very reminiscent of Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of their faces. So when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Last week we learned that Simon Peter and the others didn't know Jesus that well. He would have been, you know, fairly new to them. But something inside of them urged them to follow Jesus. And I think it supersedes the miracle of fish that was caught that day. And I believe that as God speaks to us and we get the true revelation of who he is and what he desires from us, I believe that we would follow just like Simon Peter did and just like Simon Peter obeyed him within the text. Nevertheless, at your words, I will let down the net. Do you hear me this morning? No matter where you are in life, we need to have a nevertheless mentality when it comes to listening to what the Lord has to say. Amen. And there's a point in this message where Jesus said, thrust out a little ways, and he began to teach the people from the boat. And then later on, the Bible says that he told him to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I want you to know this morning, the deep is where many of us are not willing to go. Do you hear me this morning? The deep is where many of us are not willing to go. But if we want the bigger treasure, the deeper things of God, we must be willing to go deeper. I want to challenge you with something this morning. When we go deeper in the things of God, it's harder to go back the other direction. When you start to go deeper in God, when you start to let go of the things that hold you down, when you start to change route and go the other direction and not go the same path that you always have gone, and when you start to go the true direction that God will have you to go, it's less easier for us to say, I really like what's out there on that bank better than I like what's out here in the deep. The deeper things of God. In the deeper things of God, we must go deeper if we want those things. Where do miners go for coal and diamonds? Where does a driller go for oil? Where do steel companies go for iron ore? Coal, diamonds, oil, iron ore, and all sorts of precious minerals are found deep in the earth. Deep in the bedrock is the only place in which tremendous heat and pressure working over a very long period of time can produce some of the resources that we consider valuable. Somebody had to work hard in order to get those diamonds to the earth. Do you hear me? If you want to be all that God is calling you to be, you have to be willing to be chiseled every now and then. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? If you want to be who God is calling you to be, you have to come to a place that you are willing to go through the fire. And the question this morning, are you willing to go through the fire? Where does Jesus in our text tell Simon Peter to catch fish? The answer is in the deep. At first, Jesus asked Peter to thrust out a little ways from the shore, and that is where he taught the people. But now he's telling him to launch out into the deep. In other words, the shallow is where the master does his teaching. It is in the deep where one learns what the heart of God is. But it's also in the deep where the heart of the teacher is put into action. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, because the heart of the teacher is not confined inside of four walls. The heart, the missio dei of God, is to reach the least, the last, and the lost. Do you hear me? When Jesus stood on the lake bank of the lake of Gennesaret and he saw those men coming, Jesus took an opportunity to teach a life lesson about who we are in him. He stood there and he said, boys, I want you to come over here for a minute. And Jesus said, listen, thrust out a little ways. And he's getting them to see what he's doing. They're looking at the harvest, the example of what was going to happen in their lives. And he said, okay, guys, I want you to hear my teaching, but in a minute, I want you to go ahead and launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. In Peter's life, Peter would have been like, man, this doesn't make much sense. We just came out of the water, and we've been there all night, and we didn't catch a thing, and now you're telling me to launch out into the deep and let down my nets all over again. Jesus said, yes, exactly. That's what I want you to do. And when Peter launched out, we noticed Scripture says that they brought in so many fish that they didn't know what to do with them. Their boats began to sink. They had to call for other people to come and help them to bring in the large amount of fish. Why did Jesus do that? It's found in verse 10. What did he say to Peter? He told him, you're going to become fishermen of men in verse 10 and 11. That's more than he was sitting there teaching. It was awesome that he was teaching the audience, but Jesus was getting ready to take on a group of disciples that were going to follow him. And the first thing that he wanted them to see is that his call was going to be on their life to be fishermen of men. Jesus is not calling us so that we can live fat, sassy lives in a mansion on top of a hill. Jesus actually told one group of individuals that said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your ace, boon, coon. I want to be everything to you. And Jesus looked at them and said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, do you want to follow me? Jesus, but I got a dead relative. I got to go home and bury him. Let the dead bury the dead. St. Ambrose, an early church father, believed that when Christ told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, this was an invitation to give one's life over to the deep mysteries of the knowledge of the Son of God. One of the greatest mysteries of God is his unconditional love and his pursuit for sinful man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what Jesus was doing for Peter and John and James and whoever else was there at that moment, he was setting a stage. He was letting them know what they were called to do. Launching out into the deep refers to going to unfamiliar, unknown, and mysterious places. A few weeks ago, while at Lake Summit from the bank and in the shallow, I could see the bottom of the lake. I could see that there were crappie swimming around in the water right in front of me. Man, I was excited. I was like, I'm going to just cast my little hook right there in front of them, and I'm going to catch some fish. I knew it was easy. It was an easy job. I didn't have to work very hard at that. The only thing I had to do was just drop my hook right there in the water. Bam, instant catch. But I have to be honest, I still didn't catch anything. I was like, man. And then all of a sudden, much later, it was a little while later, here comes Jim and Tom and Phil. He's holding up this big old, what was that? Walleye. And I'm out here at the shallow trying to catch a fish. Didn't do any good. I was like, man. Jim caught the fish. He's the fisherman. Amen. Amen. Some of us like the shallow waters of the faith. Because in the shallow, you can see, you can control the outcome in the shallows. That's why, and I'm not being hard, we need workers like crazy in a growing church, amen? We need people to volunteer. But some of us, this is as far as we want to go. Some of us are okay with small groups and in Bible studies and a Sunday message. But if you want to really go deep, man, you have to commit yourself to the Word of God. You have to chew on the Word of God. You have to meditate on the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God. Sunday's message would not be enough for you throughout the week. Somewhere in the middle of that, man, you have to really get in God's Word. You have to really dedicate yourself to prayer and seeking God with the whole heart. Amen. Amen. We as the church, man, we have been greatly pacified. We have been convinced by many people that it's okay just to come to a Sunday service because you're saved anyway and you don't have to do anything else. You can just go live your life how you want to. You don't really have to read the Bible because somebody else is going to read it for you. Somebody else already studied it for you. Somebody else already have the outline ready for you. But if you look across Christianity, there's a vast amount of nominal Christians that are being born into the kingdom of God. Somewhere in the middle of this, we have to study to show ourselves approved. And the only way we can show ourselves approved is by really getting in God's Word. And how you can tell a person is deeper in the deep things of God is by them studying and showing themselves approved. Can I get an amen? A lot of folks might not believe that, but that is the truth of God's Word. But God is challenging you today to launch out into the deep things of His Word, out into the place where faith must be put into action. Do you hear me? Do you think it took faith for Peter to do what he did? Man, it took a large amount of faith for Peter to trust a man who he never seen fish before. You're telling me you've never fished before? You're a carpenter. You're a teacher. You're a rabbi. You're a master. You're the master. You're not a fisherman. I've been fishing all my life, and now you're telling me how to fish? It's funny how Jesus would come in and mess up what we think we know. Sometimes we think we know how to do ministry. Can I tell you that real ministry is really done as you go? Can I tell you the truth that you really can't learn ministry from a book? Not real heartfelt ministry. Real ministry is learned as we go. Real ministry is learned through trial and error. Real ministry is learned through life's hard trials and tests. Real parenting is learned as you go. I don't care how many books you read, you're not a parent until you walk through it. You're not really a born-again Christian until you learn how to walk like Jesus. I might not get a lot of amens, but I'm trying to make disciples. I'm not trying to make babies. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? We need to get real about this and get off the milk, and it's time to get on some meat. You have teeth all in your mouth. It's time to chew. Some of us are okay with the unfamiliar, with the familiar, unchallenged faith. And shallow faith that causes us to remain comfortable with where we are. Some of us are okay just teaching a class. Some of us are okay with just preaching behind this pulpit. Can I tell you, I'm a very shy person, naturally. Can I tell you in a way that this is a hiding place for me? My greatest challenge is when I have to go out there. My greatest challenge is when I stand in front of an individual that doesn't believe like I believe. And he's telling me, every time I say something, he has something to say. The atheists that really don't know God, don't love God at all. They don't care anything about your Jesus. They don't care anything about your church. How can you witness to that individual if you're always hanging around the shallow, if you're always hanging around the familiar? God is challenging us to go to unfamiliar, uncharted places and proclaim his goodness. God is challenging, maybe the very season that you're in, that you're calling tough, maybe God is trying to get some thicker skin on you. You can't get thicker skin in the shallow. You can't learn how to swim in the shallow. You can't learn how to tread water in the shallow. That's why I don't know how to tread water, because I'm afraid to go into the deep parts of the water. Some of us, we like it in the shallow because we can stand up, but God is challenging us to go into the deep, the things that we don't quite understand yet. Some of us stay away from parts of the Bible because we are afraid of the deeper things of God. But there are others that are longing for the deeper things of God's word, deeperness of his presence, and the deeper things of God's plans for our lives. But if that's where you're at and you don't want the deeper things, if you don't want to get on the boat, I'm not going to force you. But I pray that you would feel the same way that I feel about the deeper things of God and launch out into the deep with the rest of us. I believe that God is urging and placing an urgency and a desire for the people of God in this generation. I believe that God is challenging us, guys, to go out into the deeper things of him. Can I get an amen? I believe that. I believe that with everything that's in me, because the same spirit that lives in you lives within me, and the same spirit that lives in me does not allow me to stay in a place of complacency. An apathy. Have you ever been complacent? I have. And if you're complacent, anything that's not moving, it is dead. I'm going to say it again. Anything that is not moving, it is dead. Some of the best tasting fish will only bite things that are moving. Do you hear me? That's why I like using minnows. I've learned that now. You catch some of if you want a fish that's going to bite when you bring it in, use a lure that you have to spin. And a bass will jump on there. And that boy will start jumping up out of the water. Let me get off that. I'm done with that. God's trying to take us to the deeper things. John, in his account, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 21, verse 6. John, he uses a different verbiage as he explains this fishing expedition. He records our Lord as saying, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. John gives a more specific detail. Sometimes God is going to challenge you to do something more specific. And sometimes his challenge is going to be great. Sometimes God will tell you outright that individual, that group of people, that thing that you're doing is not good for you. And it's at that moment you have to make up in your mind. Either you're going to do what God will have you to do, or you're going to do what you desire to do. And every now and then God will tell you, I feel like that sometimes as we grow into maturity, in our faith in God, sometimes what God is saying to us is not that obvious. Do you hear me? And I think maturity comes when we spend time with God and going deeper into things of God. It's kind of like my relationship with my wife. Now, after being married this many years, I can look at my wife and just about tell what she's thinking before she has anything to say. When she walks in a room, I almost know what she's thinking and how she's feeling. I know to walk on eggshells. I know to greet her with a big smile. I know to stay out of her path. I know those things because I spend time with my wife. The same way with God. There's going to come a time in your life that God may not be as specific. He may not say, I need for you to go here or go there or do this or do that. He might just tell you to go. He did for Abraham. There were times he did it for Paul. There are times he's going to do it with you. Casting a net, that means to throw it out and immediately draw it in. That was one definition I found. I believe that if we're going to win the loss, we must be willing to cast our nets wide in order to bring in a harvest of fish. I watched a video the other day. It was so cool how this gentleman, he took that net and it had weights on the end, on all ends of it. And one thing I also know about casting a net, the deeper you go in the water, the heavier the weights have to be. And that's why some of the nets take multiple people to cast them out. But that gentleman, he was getting some thrust behind him. He was rocking himself back and forth, and finally he cast that net out, and that thing went long and it went wide, and it covered a large amount of water, and it began to drop down into the water where he threw it. Here are a few things that I know about launching and casting. Launching out in the deep, you are expecting and anticipating on catching much bigger fish than you would in the shallow. Launching out into the deep will take you farther away from where you started. It will often take you away from the familiar to the unfamiliar. In Isaiah 40:3 gives us the prophecy about John the Baptist. The voice of the one who cries out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. The world apart from Christ is a type of wilderness. And God promises that he would do glorious things in that wilderness. That he would produce their pools of water. He would bring in their all manner of fruitfulness. And he would turn the unpleasant desert into the pleasure of a paradise. All which were to be performed in a spiritual sense by the gospel. And I believe that God is calling us as the body of Christ to go into wilderness places. I believe that God is challenging us to go to be the light of the world, to be his light, to go into the world, into dark places, so that men may see. I believe that God is calling you to be salt. Amen. I believe that God is challenging us to be a city. Come on, I'm quoting scripture. We need amen if we agree with the scripture. Casting one's net into deeper waters requires more faith than casting in the shallow, because in the deep, you don't know what you might catch. In the deep, you don't know what you might catch. And one of the problems in the church world today is that when we cast our nets out there in the deep and we bring in some of the outcasts of society, many of us who don't like to go into the deep, we become uncomfortable. Oh my goodness, how did this person start coming to the church? How many of you know that when you cast a net out there, you don't know what you might drag in? You may go out trying to catch bass and catfish. You may end up with some lizards and some snakes. Some unlikely things that you didn't tend to catch when you went out fishing. But can I tell you the truth? That it really doesn't matter what you catch in that net. What really matters is that they hear the gospel. So we might catch a whole lot of things. You know, the church hollers and say we want revival, do we? See, because revival oftentimes comes looking different than what we expected. You can't pack God inside of a box. You can't put God on the shelf and say, yeah, this is what you're going to look like. Because God might just bring some drug addicts, some gangbangers, and some thugs, and some adulterous type people into our church, and we might just have to deal with it. Can I preach to you today? Amen. And when those individuals come inside of the house of God, just like Zacchaeus, the change is going to happen when the gospel is being preached. The Bible says that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, and after meeting with Zacchaeus, I don't know, it doesn't give any specifics, but something happened after, more likely they had a meal, and Zacchaeus stood up and his life was changed. He said, I'll sell everything I have and give back four times as much that I took from people. Listen, that's a change. Because very rarely do a rich person enter the kingdom of God. And here it is, a very wealthy man by the name of Zacchaeus coming to a place in his life where he said, listen, I've had enough. How did Jesus do that except he had a bait? Called relationship. Casting one's net takes hard work. And oftentimes it takes more than one person to draw the net in. That's why church is a teamwork. That's why you can't expect the pastor to do it all. You can't expect the deacon board to do it all. It's a team. God is calling all of us to be fishermen. It's time out for watching just videos about fishermen. It's time to go fishing. We've heard enough preaching, teaching, to last a lifetime. And we're going to preach again next Sunday. But it's time to put into action what you got in the tackle box. God has equipped you with all kind of bait to use to fish. God has his Holy Spirit inside of you. Why don't you put it to work? That's what he desires to do. He longs to work for God. Am I preaching too hard this morning? Good. I got some more to preach about. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and when they had done this, they caught a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Most scholars believe that there were a couple hundred boats on the water at one time. Most would also agree the size of the boats were much smaller than the ships that we would think of today. I think that it is ironic that the vessels that were used here in our text were much smaller. They were small. But Jesus used them. In such a dramatic way. He used this small vessel, this insignificant thing, to do this large thing. How many fish? Two fish and, was it two fish? Five pieces of bread? Five loaves, two fish? Fed a multitude of 5,000 people. Not including the men, the women and the children. So it could have been more than 15,000 people that were fed that day. I think it's also awesome that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, 1 Corinthians 1:27. In other words, God has chosen you and I to be his spokesman in this world that is filled with sin and depravity. God does not need the wisest and most influential people to serve his purposes. He chooses to use those who will humble themselves, accept Christ, and submit their lives to him. God chooses to use you who are weak to display his power and authority. He chooses to use you and I, the weak, the foolishness, and the weak things of this world to bring glory to himself, so that men and women would come to know him and come to repentance. On this day, Peter and the others were tired and ready to go home. They were tired of fishing. They were tired of launching out and casting their nets only to find them empty once they brought them back in. Some of us may be crying out and saying, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. And God is saying to us today, cast your nets on the other side. Listen, when you're going through the hardest times in your life and God tells you to cast your net on the other side, listen, God is challenging you to come from down there, to come up to where he's at, so that he can build your faith. How did the church grow? How did the church expand? Through persecution, right? Their persecution caused them to go deeper. Your trials and your tests should cause you to trust God more. So what happens in that is your faith is increased. Your ability to trust God becomes easier. If you beat me up one time, you just beat me up. But if we keep fighting enough, I'm going to beat you up. Why would that happen? Because I figure out a way to find your weakness. Eventually, if you keep falling enough, you're going to figure out how to trust God. And the very thing that kept you down would be the very thing that becomes your ministry. Will become your ministry that you will use to win somebody else. I know you were abused. I know you were mistreated. I know you were bullied. I know you were picked on. I know you were lied on. I know you were talked about. I know you didn't have the best life. But guess what? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Now, why don't you take that bad hand and use it to strengthen somebody else? In most cases, there are two kinds of fishermen. There's your recreational fisherman and there's your commercial fisherman. The recreational fishermen only fish for enjoyment. The commercial fisherman does it for a living, a way of life and survival. The recreational fisherman will more than likely not risk his or her life trying to catch fish. The commercial fisherman is willing to do whatever it takes to bring home a catch. My question to you this morning, which one are you? Are you a recreational fisherman or are you a commercial fisherman? Where you do it and you know that if you don't do it, you're not going to make a living. When we are commercial fishermen, we're willing to lose our lives. And that's why Paul said in the book of Acts, when the other apostles started weeping, when Agabus prophesied, it said the man whom this belt belongs to, that he's going to be dragged out to Jerusalem and he's going to be locked in chains and he's going to die eventually. Paul said, looked at those guys as they began to weep and cry. He says, why do you grieve me like this? He says, not only am I willing to go to Jerusalem, but I am willing to die. The question this morning is, are we at the point Paul was at? Are we at that place that we're not just recreational fishermen? We only have to do it every now and then. Do we only have a recreational Christianity, a faith in God? Or do we have a commercial faith in God? No matter what comes our way, we're still going to serve God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those are the people that the devil is afraid of. Those are the kind of individuals that the enemy is running around wild and crazy because he cannot handle. He's not concerned about a weak and feeble church. He's not worried about a Sunday morning Christian. But he's concerned with those who not only hear the word, but are doers of the word. Can I get an amen? Are we doers of God's word? Many of the hardships they endure, these fishermen, include high winds, fatigue, and physical stress. The hazardous work conditions faced by fishermen have a strong impact on their safety. Out of 948 work-related deaths that took place in Alaska during 1990 through 2006, one-third, 311, occurred to fishermen. This is equivalent to an estimated annual fatality rate of 128 out of 100,000 workers per year. This fatality rate is 26 times that of the overall average, U.S. average, work-related fatalities. Fatality rate of approximately 5 out of 100,000 workers per year for the same time period. I firmly believe that the same call, the same challenge that Jesus gave Peter, he's given us today. Oftentimes, God will use the thing that you love to do to let you know what you're called to do. People come to me all the time, well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm called to do. That's the question I ask them. What do you love to do? What gets you going? When you think about the church and ministry, what turns your wheels? What causes you to be like, ah, I like that. I can do that. Maybe you need to start there. I'm not saying it would end there, but maybe you need to start there. But I tell you today that you got to start somewhere. We can't keep sitting on our hands. But we have to get busy doing the work of the Lord. Amen? For Peter, it was fishermen, fishing. But for you, it may be something else. But regardless of what your life call is, serve anywhere in the meantime. Are you willing to serve? It's the question. Because if you're wanting to be, if you wanted to do something great for Jesus, one of the first things that you got to be is a servant. Churches don't grow. You watch this. I want you to hear what I got to say. We're wrapping it up. I got about 10 minutes left. Churches don't grow just because. It takes people who have a mouth and are willing to tell others. How do you think the gospel is spread? Everybody that they read those letters to, guess what they did? They shared it. Amen. But guess what? I know this is going to be hard for some of you to swallow. You can't grow if you're not sharing God's word. Oh, yeah. Every person that I've ever seen, I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to manipulate. You can read God's word all day long and stay the same. But I promise you, the person who's not only reading and meditating and sharing, that person, I promise you, they become the strength of the church. They become the pillars inside of the house of God. Why? Because they become doers. They see the need. Can you see the need? See, I'm challenging you today because I get the opportunity to be the pastor of the church. And if something goes right, I get credit. And if something goes wrong, I get credit. But I'm okay with it because that's what God has called me to do. You can't grow if you're not willing to go. The Bible says in Luke 5:8-11, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, for now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I said earlier that Simon Peter saw something in Jesus, something greater than the miracle of the fish. He saw, I believe, Simon Peter at that moment, he saw God. I believe that he recognized something. Well, I'm telling you the truth. When God has called you to do something, you're going to know it. You can feel it inside of you. There's an urgency. There's a fire that's placed inside of you. That's why Jeremiah said, "I wanted to quit, but I couldn't, because it was like fire shut up in my bones." Listen, if you have the Spirit of God in you, there's something inside of you that God is asking you to do. And you know what you need to do? You just need to say, "Nevertheless, I don't understand it that well, Lord, but nevertheless, how do I get started? Let me do this, but nevertheless." I don't know what it is. It may be going visiting the elderly. It may be seeing after the widows. It may be visiting and taking care of the poor. It may be doing something inside of the church. But we need to say, "God, nevertheless, I don't understand. I'm going to cast my net on the other side. I'm going to cast my net on the right side of the boat. At your command, nevertheless." I'm going to close this morning. At this moment, Peter saw something that revolutionized his thinking about Jesus and himself. It was at this moment that Peter had an epiphany, a revelation about Jesus. He realized that only God could have caused this event to take place right before his eyes. In amazement, wonder, and gratitude, and not doubting, he prostrated himself to the earth and trembling and afraid. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you ever have felt God, there's a moment in your life where you're like, "Oh my goodness, what in the world is going on here? Is this something happening in my life that is greater than myself?" I remember when I was born again, growing up in church most of my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? In and out of church. I never forget, I jokingly tell people that growing up in a Pentecostal holiness background, I've been saved probably 10,000 times. But I never forget when I went to Pensacola, Florida, and God saved me for real. And I went home and I opened the Word of God, and it's like the words began to run off the page. It's like I couldn't get enough. I found myself reading the Bible for hours, hours, hours. I could not wait to get in God's Word. People thought I had lost my mind on my job, because that's all I wanted to do. At every break, I wouldn't eat. I would just read God's Word. I would fast constantly. Can I tell you today that just about the first day almost that I was born again, maybe a week or month later, I felt God calling me. To be who I am today. See, if I had just stuck with what was familiar, I was a scared little wimpy boy who hated to speak in front of people. But I knew the only way I was going to do it, and the only way I was going to grow, first I had to go And my pastor told me, he said, Brother Charles, he said, now you got to look at people when you talk to them. That scared me so bad. But now I hide behind this, but really I'm hiding behind Jesus. For the last so many years, I've asked God, speak through me. Transform somebody's life. Open somebody's heart, their minds up to what you have for them. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. We're going to get ready to close. After he saw the majesty and power of God, he said, woe is me. For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Sounds very reminiscent of who? Peter. Jeremiah. The list goes on and on. Solomon. And his train fills the temple. When God wants to do something in your life and in a church, he comes in and his spirit eradicates pride. He has a way, remember I said it earlier, he has a way of humbling us, me. And this is what gets me, is that in verse 8, Isaiah says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? This is what gets me. He's already afraid. He's trembling with fear. And he's wondering, like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And the angel comes down. If that's not scary enough, the angel comes down and touches his mouth, his lips with the hot coal. Will you not be afraid of an angel coming down, touching your lips with a hot coal? I would be. My words would be crazy. My mind would be disembobulated. I would be all thinking all weird and not knowing what to say, probably trembling and everything else. And out of Isaiah's mouth, out of these trembling lips, out of Peter's trembling lips, this is what Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. If that's not powerful, I don't know what is. When you have an experience with God, the only thing that we need to say is, send me. Send me, Lord. Lord, send us to Blair if you'll stand this morning. Send us, Jesus. Send Living Hope, God. Send us, Jesus. May we be your hands. May we be your feet. May we be your mouthpiece. This morning, the same God that spoke to Isaiah is the same God that spoke to Peter on the boat while ministering on the lake of Gennesaret. And he is the same God that has commissioned his disciples in Matthew 28 to reach the world with the gospel message. It is the same, and it was God calling out Peter to be his hands and feet in the world. Remember, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, and he is calling us to be his laborers in this earth. He is calling us to be more than recreational fishermen, but he is calling us to be commercial fishermen. We have been commissioned to fish for the souls of men, and our net is the gospel message. Our boat is the tools of evangelism that God has provided through us. Today, God is yet again calling for fishermen with a purpose. This morning, we have to be able to see. In order to see, we must humble ourselves. In other words, we must submit to his will. For the longest, Peter had lived life on his terms, but now he is being challenged to live according to God's terms, God's plans, and God's conditions. Obeying God caused him to realize that there was no way that he could have done this on his own and with his own strength, his own ability, and his own resources. Did you hear that? Peter came to grips that he couldn't have done this with his resources and with his own strength and his ability. He knew that a supernatural thing had happened. Can you see what God is doing in your life? If you close your eyes today and lift your hearts up to heaven, the same God that called Peter is the same God that's calling you and I. The same God that poured his spirit out on the day of Pentecost is the same God that's pouring his spirit out today. The same God that called me to full-time ministry, he's calling you to some type of ministry. But for now, I can hear his voice so clear. Serve. Serve as you go. Stop waiting. In every area of your life, serve the kingdom of God. If you're here today and you know this message spoke to you, and that you have placed your rod and reel, your net, it's in the spiritual closet of life, and you haven't used it in a long time, and you feel the call of God on your life to get involved, to do more, to be more for his kingdom, if that's you, slip your hand up today. I see those hands. Amen. He'll give you boldness. He'll give you direction. He'll give you focus. He'll give you the tools. The tools are inside of you. His spirit. If you're here today and you're running from God and you have fallen away, you have walked away from your relationship with God, and you have chosen to go another path, but your heart longs to be with him. You desire to be with him. If that's you today, raise your hand up and we'll pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand.
Living Hope Assembly of God.